Psalm 102, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Psalm 102, we'll begin reading in verse number 18. We found this beautiful, these beautiful words given to us. And it's, if you'll see the heading, it says, "A prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord." And we find this in verse number 18. The Bible says, "This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem." And I want to preach this morning on this thought, written for the generation to come. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for this time we've had to open thy word to read it. Lord, now as we stand to preach, I pray for the power of the Spirit of God to be real. I pray, Lord, that not only upon the one speaking, but on the ones hearing, I pray, Lord, that thy word would speak to us and change our lives and help us to be closer to thee and more like thee. Lord, I pray that you'll give me the strength I need to stand, the power that I need to stand and preach today. Lord, I pray for everyone that's in this place. If there be one here without Christ as Savior, I pray that this would be the day they trust thee. For those of us that have already trusted Christ, I pray that this day would be a day where we're strengthened to carry on greater works for thee. Lord, when all is said and done, this service today, I pray, Lord, that you'd be well pleased with all that's taken place. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We find written here some beautiful words. From the time the psalmist written this passage of Scripture until the time that we're living in now, we know that each word of the Bible has been written for each generation. We know that the Word of God is from everlasting to everlasting. And we realize that every part of the Bible is written for us. It may not all have been written to us, but it's all written for us. And we can claim what the Bible says as our own today. We can claim God's Word as our own Word from God. And there are a lot of people that say that the Old Testament's not for our generation. There's preachers that we know that they never read from anything but the New Testament and study anything but from the New Testament. But the Bible helps us to understand that every word is written, every word is inspired, and it is written for every generation. The Bible says here in Psalm 18, "This shall be written for the generation to come." And then we find following that, we find three great things that God has given to us. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 19. We see that God looks. The Bible says, "For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth." And I want you to know today that nothing has ever escaped the all-seeing eye of God. God sees all and God knows all. And we have to believe that and understand that God is looking down today and he knows everything that's taking place. Aren't you glad of that? That the Creator God, the God that is seated on His throne in heaven, He's still in control. Amen? So the Bible teaches us that God looks. Then the Bible says that God hears. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 20. "To hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death." I'm glad today that God heard the prisoner's groaning, because that's the lot of all of us. We're all prisoners to sin. We're all prisoners to unrighteousness. And there's only one thing that can set us free from the bonds of sin and unrighteousness, and that is the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And dear friends, when we call upon the name of the Lord, He saves us and He changes us. He regenerates us and we become a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see that it's written that the believer declares. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 21. "To declare the name of the Lord in Zion and His praise in Jerusalem." When God looked down, and the sinner looked up, the prisoner groaned, the Bible teaches us that God delivers us. And dear friends, now we have a story to tell. We have a testimony to give. We have a word to share with the world. And that's about the saving grace of God in our lives. And we are to declare the praises of God in all the earth. It's our responsibility to tell the world about Jesus. It's my responsibility to share with others the life-changing message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and what Christ has done in my life. Now, He's changed me. Made me a new creature in Christ. The psalmist said, "This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord." So the Bible's been written, and there are some things about the word written that I want us to look at today. We think about the Bible. When I hold God's word in my hand, I hold the inspired, the infallible, the inerrant word of God. I believe this is the God-breathed book. I believe that God moved upon holy men of old, and as God moved upon their heart, they wrote what God would have them to write. And He's preserved it for us, and today we have the Bible, God's Word, given to us. We don't need to add to it, and we cannot take anything away from it. God has given us everything we need in this precious old book. So as we think about the written Word of God and we come to an understanding, I want us to see just a few thoughts about it today. First of all, I want you to see the written Word is unmovable in its requirements. The written Word is unmovable in its requirements. When we think about this, from the very beginning, I want you to understand that the world's tried to change the Word of God. The first attack was upon the truth of God's Word. When Satan came after Eve in the garden, I want you to know what he attacked was the Word of God. He changed the truth of God into a lie. He told Eve that if she would eat of the tree, then she would be as God. And then she began to say something to him, and as she did, she began to change what God had to say. He confused her. She began to change the truth of God. From the very beginning of declaring the Word of God, man's tried to deny it. They tried to change it. They tried to forget about it. We can go in the book of Jeremiah and we can read that when the Word was read in the very presence of King Jehudi, that he took the Word and he cut it in pieces. He took his penknife out. He said, "I don't like what it has to say." Cut it in pieces, and he threw it into the fire. But just because people try to cut it up, people can throw it in the fire, they can try to change it, they can try to deny it, but it still is the Word of God. It matters not what the generations may do. Every generation has the written Word of God, and this Word is written for each and every generation. Cutting it up doesn't change it. Throwing it into the fire doesn't change it. Revising it to suit our own standards of living doesn't change it. I want you to know today that it is unmovable in its requirements, because the Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." This is why it's good for every generation, because it was already settled. Before the world began, God's Word was already settled. All the things that happened and the events that took place had not yet taken place. But God is an all-present God. He was already there. He was already there when Jesus was born as a baby in a manger. He was already there when he was 12 years old and his parents couldn't find him, and they come back and they find him there in the sanctuary, marveling the scholars and the scribes as he spoke to them with great wisdom. He was already there before the world began. God already knew about the water being turned into wine. And I want you to know he was already there the day that Pilate pronounced his sentence. He was there before the world was created. The Lord Jesus and Almighty God was already there. And he saw them as they put the nails in his hand and the spike through his feet and the spear in his side. And as he cried out in agony on the cross and in mercy said, "Father, forgive them." He was already there when they came and they took him down from the cross and they placed him in a borrowed tomb. And I want you to know, dear friend, he was already there when the third day he arose from the grave, and he defeated death and he defeated hell and defeated the grave. And he's already there in your tomorrow. It's written for every generation. And it's unmovable in its requirements. It's already settled. It's forever settled. It is the unchanging Word of God. And that's why it's good for every generation. What God had his men write in the days of old, he had written
for every generation.
Therefore, I think we ought to listen to it, don't you? We ought to realize what it says about us, about our lives. We ought to conform our life to the truth of God's Word. We ought to quit living for self and start living for the Savior. It's not about accomplishing our goals. It's accomplishing what God desires for our life that matters. It's unmovable in its requirements. God's Word requires us that we live for Him. God wrote this generation a message that teaches us that we're all sinners by birth. This generation a message that said we must all be born again. And God wrote this generation and said that if we reject His Son, then He'll refuse us when we stand before Him. And if we reject Christ as Savior, God says our destiny will be hell. There's no moving the truth of God's Word. People laugh at it. People scorn it. People reject it. People get an education and feel like they're too intellectual to accept it. But it doesn't change it. God's Word is forever settled. It's unmovable in its requirements. Secondly, I want you to know that it's unequal in its reasoning. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 1, verse number 18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I want you to know it's unequaled in its reasoning. The world teaches us and religion teaches us you have to do. But God says, let's reason together. Your sins may be as scarlet, but I'll wash them and make it white as snow. They'll be red like crimson, but I want you to know they'll be as wool. Religion says you must do. Religion says you've got to act. Religion says you've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to be baptized. You've got to join the church. You've got to do this deed. And you've got to act this way. And you have to be this way. But the Bible teaches us that everything that had to be done was done on the cross of Calvary. It's unequaled in its reasoning. When we think about it, this reasoning doesn't make sense to us because we're finite. Because our minds can't comprehend the might and the majesty and the power and the promises of God. Does it make sense to you that I have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I get to go to heaven? That I don't have to do things? But see, that's why the Word is written for every generation. We need to realize that it's forever settled. God's plan of salvation was settled before the world ever began. And it's always been by grace, through faith, that any person is ever going to go to heaven. So when we see what the Bible has to say, the reasoning of our minds is like, this doesn't make sense. But when the reasoning of God, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ paid for our sins in Calvary's flow. And though our sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Isn't that wonderful? It's unequaled in its reasoning. Religion says do. Christ says done. Religion says turn over a new leaf. Jesus says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's unequaled in its reasoning. The third thing we see about the written Word of God is it's unlimited in its reception. I like that. The Bible says, "This shall be written for the generation to come." One of the most precious things about the message that He's written for every generation, and that is that for those that will let it do something for them, will believe what the message says, they'll believe the written Word of God and receive it as He reveals it, that there's an unlimited power. It's unlimited in its reception in the fact that it doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, how bad you may think your sins are, or how good you may think you are. The written word is for everybody. I think many of us would look at people, and as we would judge people by their sins and by their deeds and by their character, we would throw many of them out. And we would say, I'll have nothing to do with you. But the Bible teaches us that Jesus died for all the world. Red and yellow, black and white. Rich or poor, short, tall, skinny, not so skinny. Look, it's unlimited in its reception. In other words, anybody can have it. What a message. Aren't you glad that it's for anybody? Can it help you to understand something? If it wasn't for anybody, then you wouldn't have it. Nor would I. Because nobody that has it deserves it. None of us are worthy, but God made us worthy through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad for the day that He showed me how much He loved me. I'm glad for the day and I knew my sinfulness and I knew my shortcomings and I knew the condition of my heart, the condition of my soul, and I realized how terrible I was and wretched and vile that I was. And boy, I'd look and I'd search and I'd try to do everything. Man, I sang in the choir. I went out on the bus routes. I done everything you could possibly do. I was at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I was trying to do it all and I was trying to make myself happy and I was trying to appease my soul, but it was not till the night that I met the Lord Jesus Christ that I understood what it meant to be redeemed by God's precious blood, to have my sins washed away in Calvary's flow, to have the burdens of life lifted and placed over on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He did. He took my burdens upon Himself on the cross of Calvary. And when I trusted Him, my burdens were lifted at Calvary. It's unlimited. If everybody couldn't be saved, then I wouldn't be saved. It's difficult to explain all that really happens when it takes place. But the results are just worth everything. Because when you receive the truth of God's Word, it anchors your soul to the rock of ages that's unmovable. I remember the day that I was saved. I became anchored in the rock of Jesus Christ. Not only does it anchor the soul, it assures the mind that everything is settled about sin and salvation. I can go through my days and I can know that heaven's going to be my home. What a difference that makes. If you're here today and you don't know beyond any shadow of a doubt that heaven's going to be your home, I want you to know, if you've trusted Christ, it's Him you're doubting, not you. That's where we get our assurance when we begin to realize. When we do what the Bible says, that's all we can do. And when we start doubting salvation after we've truly trusted Christ as our Savior, we're doubting Christ and His ability to save us according to His Word and to keep us according to His Word. What's the Bible say we have to do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Now, I believe as we read the Scripture and we compare Scripture to Scripture, we have to realize we're a sinner. And we have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And I believe we need to be sorry for our sins, you know? The Bible does say repent and believe. It's having, some people say it's just simply a change of mind. It's a change of mind. It's a change of heart. It's a change of attitude, if you will. There is a difference. And if you really study the word repent, you'll understand it's more than just change of mind. It means that truly you realize your sinful condition. You're sorry for that sinful condition. Doesn't mean you have to have deep agony and deep grief and you have to cry so many tears. It just means you have to realize you're a sinner and your sin makes you deserve hell. And Jesus took your sins and placed them on His cross. And He nailed your sins to the cross of Calvary. And if you're willing to put your faith in what Jesus Christ did, then you're saved. And you have an assurance. I'm on my way to heaven today. Not because I've quit sinning, but because I've put my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm on my way to heaven today. Not because I joined the church.
Not because I was baptized in the baptismal pool. Not because I partake of the Lord's Supper. But because I trusted Jesus Christ. And there's an assurance that we have. And we can be settled in our soul and in our mind about sin and salvation. And as a believer today, when I begin to doubt my salvation, I'm doubting what the Bible says about what Jesus did for me. Oh, may we realize that what the Bible teaches us about salvation, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, is what we need. We don't need religion, we need a relationship. Not only does it anchor the soul, not only does it assure the mind, it also adorns the heart with a purpose to live for. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and He changes us, it puts a purpose in our life. Our desire ought to be to fulfill the purpose of God with our lives. We get so busy with life and we leave the Lord out so many times. I believe we ought to have a desire in our heart to live for the Lord, don't you? A purpose. Think about this. God saved you. He saved you on purpose for a purpose. Now, one of the most amazing things to me about the grace of God and the salvation of God is that God wants to use me. I think the miracle is that I have a desire to be used. I'm living in a world that's sinful, in a world that says, have nothing to do with God, but I have a desire to be used by God. Whenever, wherever, however God wants to use me, I want to be used by God. I love preaching. And I said I'd never be a preacher before I was saved. And you know, every preacher that ever is called to preach will tell you they were introverts and they couldn't do this and they couldn't get up in front of people and they'd take zero on book reports. How many preachers you heard say that? I've just about began to believe that one just repeats it after another. I was shy. I never took a zero on a book report. I never gave one. Not because it's just none of my classes ever required me to do a book report in front of people. I go back and I look and I thought, you know, I don't ever want to say that. I was shy enough that I would probably think about it. I wasn't that shy. You know, I had tough enough time getting through high school as it was. I wasn't. Them spankings hurt when I failed, when I made an F, you know? Wasn't that dumb? But God saved me. And I remember people in the church I went to, I was shy. I was fine one-on-one with somebody. But getting in front of people, I was always a little nervous. You know, I always surrounded myself. When I sang in the choir, I'd get around the loudest men in the choir. And I would do my best every time to stand right between. There was two especially, stand right between these two. Because I knew nobody would hear me with these two guys right here. I remember doing things like that. I remember before I was saved, I'd go out on the van routes. And I remember saying, I'll just stay in the van. I remember when there was just two of us sometimes, I would walk with them and I would say, you do the talking. You know? God saved me and He called me to preach. He had a purpose for my life. That's a miracle. God could take somebody like me and save me. That's a miracle. But then to realize He has a purpose. And everybody that trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, God has a purpose for your life. He's not going to call all of you to preach. But He's called every one of you to do something for Him to fulfill His purpose for your life. It adorns us when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. It adorns us with a purpose, with a heart to live for His purpose. And then it armors us for the battles. And dear friends, we need that armor today, don't we? With all that's going on in the world, I look and I talk to people. And I don't know, it'll come to me, I guess. But I've not found myself fretting yet over the condition of the world. Because I know that God's still in control. And regardless of what the world may throw at us, if I'll just be a soldier for the Lord, I'm on the victor side. It's when I throw my armor down. You know what the armor is. Go read it in Ephesians 6. When I put it aside, that's when the danger comes. But God is arming me. And I need to just serve the Lord. I need to trust Him and realize that He's given me a power once I've received Christ. And it's unlimited. It's for everybody. It's not just because I'm a preacher that I have this armor. It's not just because I'm a preacher that I have an adorning of the heart for a purpose. It's not because I'm a preacher that I have the assurance that heaven's going to be mine and that I'm anchored to the soul. It's for everybody that trusts the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody that receives Christ has this unlimited power that's been given to us. So many people have found this message of redemption to be the very answer to life. As a matter of fact, everybody that's ever trusted Christ has found that He's all that they need. May the Lord help us. And the psalmist said this shall be written for the generation to come. Every generation, there's a word written. It's not changing. It's still the same. When the early American settlers came to America, they had the same word that we're reading. In the days of Christ, the word wasn't completed, but they had the Old Testament. And what was true then is still true for us now. Truth never changes, does it? Lord, help us. The written word, not only is it unmovable in its requirements, and not only is it unequaled in its reasoning, and not only is it unlimited in its reception, I want you to know, it's also unforgotten in its reproof. We need to realize this. Just because God's written a message for the generation to come, doesn't mean that everybody receives that message. And every soul is accountable to God for what they do with His Word. Every soul is accountable to God for either receiving or rejecting the truth of God's precious holy Word. Receive it, and Christ is your Savior, and heaven's your home. Reject it, and Christ is your enemy, and hell is your home. Receive it, and Christ said He'd never leave you, forsake you. Reject it, and the Bible says the wrath of God already abides on us. If we receive it, then our life will be changed and our future will be sure. But if we reject it, our life will keep on going, and one day it'll come to an end. And the lack of assurance will be the very thing that ushers us into an eternity in hell. Do you realize there's a heaven and a hell, and there's no other place for eternity? The reproof of the Word of God is true. Once you leave this world, there's no more chances. I'm convinced what the Bible says. You can reject and reject and reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and there'll be a day that God may never deal with you again. Think about it. The reproof of God's Word is to reprove us of our sin and to help us to understand we have to have Jesus as our Savior. The Bible says in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 12, verse number 48, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You want to know what you're going to be judged by? The very thing that you rejected will be the very thing that's brought before you. It'll be shown to you how Jesus loved you, died on the cross for your sins, and how that He paid for all your sins on the cross of Calvary. But because you rejected His payment, now you have to pay for your sins in a place called hell for all eternity. Oh, dear friends, it's written for every generation. But in every generation, there are those that receive it and those that reject it. I hope that you're one of those that have already trusted Christ. But if not, what a day this is for you. And this is the day of salvation. Today is the day where you can put your faith and trust in what the Bible has to say about Christ and His love and His care for you. And though your sins be as scarlet, if you'll trust Christ as your Savior, they'll become white as snow. Death's coming. Death does not cancel what the Word says. For all eternity, the Word of God will speak to you about how you rejected it. Do you know Jesus? This is written for the generation to come. So in other words, every generation has had the truth written, given, proclaimed. Now we have to do something with it. By the way, I know I preached a lot of this to people that may not know the Lord, but this is also to us that knows the Lord, because who's responsible for the written Word being given to the world? You and I that have it. We have the greatest thing in all the world. But it seems like we want to hide it. You know? Hide it under a bushel? No. We're going to let it shine. What are we going to do with the Word? It's not something that we just bring and conceal. As a matter of fact, I always tell people, the more you give of the grace of God, the more you're going to realize you can give all of it away that you possibly can, and you'll still have just as much as you ever had. That's an amazing thing. It's a gift that as much of it as you give, you never lose one bit of it. God's grace. And people can have just as much as you have when they trust Jesus. Isn't that an amazing thing? There's no other gift like it in all the world. I can give you grace. I can show you the grace of God, and you can receive it, and you can have just as much grace as I have. And what I've given to you, I've still got it, because I never lose it. God's grace. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your precious Word. And Lord, I pray that today it's helped us. Lord, we realize that You've given it to us, and it's been passed down from generation to generation to generation, and Your truth still stands. It's unchanging, unmovable, unlimited, unequaled. Lord, may we understand today our responsibility. If there be one here today without Christ as Savior, Lord, I pray that this day You've spoken to their heart and they've come to realize that they're sinners. Just like we all are sinners. But Lord, they need to make the same decision many of us have made. That is to place their life in Your hands and let You wash their sins and cleanse them and make them a new creature in Christ. And for those of us that are saved, Lord, may we realize our responsibility to spread the Word of God to a lost and dying world. Lord, to share the message of the gospel of Christ to as many as we possibly can. To give Your grace to all, Lord, that You bring our way. We'll thank You and we'll praise You for what You do. With heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano begins to play this morning.